It's haram. Your ulama have told you it's haram. And you reply back to me saying, Ya Allah, why don't you ask my dua? I've been so patient with you and you haven't even looked at me. So why should I turn around and look at you? And I tell you one thing, he does turn around and look at us when we don't turn around to look at him. True or no? Those of you who've been to Arafah, you remember those hours in Arafah? From Dhuhr until Maghrib at Arafah, those of you who've been to Hajj? Do we deserve to sit in a place where Allah says, you are a great criminal, if you doubt, I've forgiven you today. I who've been rude to you, Ya Allah. I who was arrogant towards your Lord, towards your laws, yet I come to you at Arafah. I've been so rude to you, you still say to me, I forgive all of your sins. Now when it comes to the dua, Allah says what? Allah says that beware of those sins that are blocking your dua. Don't come to me and say, we want our daughter to get married when your daughter's not even wearing the hijab of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. I want my daughter to get married, Ya Allah, but my daughter doesn't believe in your laws, but please help her. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? That I expect Allah to answer all my du'as, but when He's asked me for something, no, I'm not doing it. That etiquette, when you are muftar, you can't just turn around and say, Ya Allah, I'm a muftar, I ask you for du'a, you don't answer me at all. Allah replies through Imam Ali in Du'a Kumail, Allahumma ghfir li dhunub allati tahbisu du'a. Ya Allah, forgive me those sins which I'm performing, which I know are blocking my du'a. Allah turns around to you and says, stop that sin, watch your du'as all get answered. You take one step towards me, I'll take 10 steps back towards you. And that's why you find on the fifth area, someone asks, why does Allah not answer my dua? On the fifth area, the most beloved sight to Allah is seeing you in your dua. Sometimes He's not answering because He wants to see you ask Him more and more and more. I tell you, there is nothing more beloved than dua in the school of Ahlul Bayt. You look at the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, they used to adore dua. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, dua Kumail. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, dua Mashlul. Imam Zain al-Abidin, as-Sahiba Sajjadiyya. You find, for example, from Imam al-Sadiq, from the 12th Imam, dua Iftitah, dua Nutba, dua Mashlul, dua al-Mujir. Al-Muhammad used to love reading dua to Allah. When someone turns around and says, Ya Allah, why aren't you answering me? Is it because I'm a bad person? No, maybe Allah loves seeing you in dua. He wants you to get closer and closer to Him. Therefore, you find when you look at all of these etiquettes, you find that these etiquettes have to be honored. That when you say, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَارِ, if you truly are muftar, then honor these etiquettes when you recite dua. And that's why there are certain duas in the school of Ahlul Bayt, which are known as the duas of distress. That when you're facing a time of distress in your life, these duas should always be recited. And each of the du'as has an explanation. And I tell you, what differentiates us, the school of Ahlul Bayt, from any other school in Islam? Do you know what differentiates us? Our du'as are what shows that we are the creme de la creme of the religion of Islam. Our du'as. Go to any school in this religion, any school, say to them, can you show me the du'as which were left behind by the Sahaba of Rasulullah? Show me. I want to read these du'as. I defy you to find me du'as from any other school in Islam which come near one line of a du'a of Zain al-Abidin. Those lines from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Aba Abdullah, those lines, I tell you, there is no school in Islam that comes near the dust which the pen made for those lines. There's no school. When someone asks you, why are you adamant that your school is the best path to Rasulullah? I say, read the du'as of the sons of Rasulullah, then I'll tell you why I'm confident about my school. You know, on the day of Arafah, on one of the best du'as when you are distressed, is the du'a Arafah of Imam al-Hussein. How many of you have read du'a Arafah? You read the translation of du'a Arafah of Imam al-Hussein, Bishr and Bashir al-Asadi, the sons of Ghalib al-Asadi, say, on the night of Arafah, we saw Aba Abdullah, and he was walking around in a state of distress, in a state of izdirar. He's in a state of distress.
And we saw him recite Dua Arafah like a person begging for food. That's how he recited Dua Arafah. But that Dua Arafah, if you are in debt, it will relieve you of your debt. If you want your children to be married, recite Dua Arafah, my dear brothers and sisters. When a person's in distress, there is no Dua, number one, like Dua Arafah of Imam al-Hussein, which we recite not only on the day of Arafah, you can recite any time in the year. Number two, the second Dua, they call the Dua of the distressed, Dua Mujir. That Dua Mujir, I tell you, what a Dua. When you recite the words of Dua Mujir, the narration say to us, whoever recites Dua Mujir, 3 days in a month, Allah will remove his sins, even if they are the number of drops of rain from the sky, or the number of the pieces of sand in the desert, or the number of leaves that fall from the tree. And that if a person has a debt, or if a person has an area in their life full of sorrows, there is nothing that will remove that distress like Dua Mujir. That's number two. A third dua, which is known as being a dua which removes distress, Dua Jawshan al-Kabir. Dua Jawshan al-Kabir, why was it revealed? Rasulullah was in the battlefield. His armor was so heavy for him. It was causing him pain. It was causing him distress. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who is there for the one in distress? Better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel. Jibreel comes to Rasulullah and says, Ya Rasulullah, recite dua Jawshan al-Kabir. This will be the best of dua for your ummah. And it will relieve you of your distress. Dua Arafah, dua Mujir, dua Jawshan al-Kabir. Another dua which removes your distress. If you've had trouble, for example, with an illness, or you've been paralyzed, dua Mashlul. Literally. In our communities today, every week you hear, this person's lost his ability to talk. This person's lost his ability to walk. You know, there is no rizq in life like health. There's no rizq like health, isn't it? When you're given good health, take all the money in the world, take everything. There's no sustenance like health. You have stomach pain in the middle of the night. Can you sleep? You have a migraine in the day. Can you work? Health is the greatest sustenance. Ahlul Bayt recognize the most distress a human faces isn't just in their marriage, isn't just with their children, isn't just with their community. When a human is unhealthy, that causes havoc. You can be the richest man on this earth and you own the most important technology company, but if there's cancer in your pancreas, what do you do? What do you do? All your products on this earth, do they help that cancer there or no? Do they help it? At the end of the day, you find Dua Mashlul. Why was it revealed? Dua Mashlul was revealed because this young man was rude to his father. And may Allah not show us the day when we're rude to our parents. Today, our parents are with us. Those of you in this hall who've lost your parents, when they leave you in this world, don't you wish you could have made up those days and nights with them? Honestly. Don't you wish you could have made up those days and nights spending it with them, talking with them, laughing with them? Dua Mashlul, what's it about? Dua Mashlul is for anyone who's lost his father. It allows them to reflect on the way they treated their father in this world. Because with Dua Mashlul, what do you have? In the narration it says that this person says, my father kept telling me, why don't you become religious? I wouldn't listen to him. Why don't you become religious? I wouldn't listen to him. When your father asks you to become religious, my dear brothers and sisters, especially the youth here, it's not because they want you to live a boring world. It's because they know that this is what's the best for you, to discipline you, to bring you closer to Allah. So this person says, one day I was taking money out from one of the cabinets. When I wanted to take the money out, my father spotted me. As he spotted me, he said, remove yourself. I pushed my father away. When I pushed my father away, and may Allah not show you a day that you lay a hand on your father. May Allah not show you a day where you lay a hand on your father, or you're rude or abrasive towards your father. He says, when I pushed my father away, what happened? My father said, I'm going to pray to Allah to punish you for what you've just done. He said, truly, my father's prayers, Allah answered them. I became paralyzed. And I begged my father, please forgive me, please forgive me. Until eventually my father said, if you come with me Hajj, I will pray to Allah to forgive you. And this part of your body, inshallah, will return back to being healthy. He said, on the way towards Hajj, my father died.
He said, I ended up going towards Hajj. While I was there, he narrates that I gave out a cry. Suddenly Hussein, son of Ali, saw me. When he saw me, he said, what is it? I told him the whole story. He said, do not worry. I will go to my father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Where else do you want to go in this world except Karbala and Najaf, next to these two personalities? Where else is there a door of mercy on this earth? He said that I would go towards my father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. I went to him. My father said, let him recite the following dua, because he's muftar. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرَّ إِذَا دُعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Who is there to answer the dua of the one who is compelled in distress? He said, I recited that dua in my dream that night. I saw Rasulullah, and he came and touched the part of my body where I was paralyzed. And the next day I woke up, Allah had returned my health back to me. Therefore, you found dua mashlul, dua mujir, you found dua arafa, dua joshan al-kabir. If ever you're in a state where you are a muftar in this life, recite these du'as, for these are the du'as which remove any distress from the life of the human being. But the verse, interestingly, does not stop there. You see, many times in our mosques, whenever you hear, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرَ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشُرُ السُّوءَ, the person stops there. The verse doesn't. The verse continues, وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَّكَّرُونَ. What does the verse continue? The verse continues by saying what? The verse continues by saying that Allah says in the Quran, is there better than Allah to answer the call of the distressed and remove all evil? And He'll make you His khulafa on earth. Make you His khulafa on earth. I thought the verse ends, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. What's khulafa? It's as if Allah was saying, there are certain of the humans I've created, they may go through great distress in their life. And they ask, and I tell them, who is there better than me to answer your dua? And I'll make you a khalifa on the earth. Our sixth imam, when he commented on this verse, what did he say? They said to him, why did Allah continue the verse saying, وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. Why did Allah say, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِبُ السُّوءَ, then say, وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ? He said, because Allah revealed this verse not only in reply to the Arabs when they were reading their du'as to the idols, but another meaning of this verse is this verse applies to Imam Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That Imam al-Sadiq says, the real muftar is Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Imam al-Mahdi. He is the real distressed one. And that he will recite two ruk'ah by Maqam Ibrahim for Allah to relieve him of his distress. Allah will relieve him of his distress, bring him victory, and make him Allah's Khalifa on the earth. Truly, in this world today, is there anyone as muftar, as distressed as Imam al-Hujjah? As in, honestly, have we really given back to the Imam of our time or no? Do we really honor this Imam, or do we truly not believe in his existence? The way some of us behave in our lives, it's as if this man never exists. Some of us, the whole day can go by, we do not recite, Allahumma kun li waliyak. Some of us, a whole week can go by, we don't recite Dua Nudba on the Friday morning. Some of us on a Tuesday do not even bother to recite Dua Tawassul, for example. Some of us do not pray for the safety of the Imam and his victory upon his return. If you put all of these Duas aside, how many of us have made an Imam a partner of our businesses? There is one man in London I know very well. Allah has blessed him with sustenance. I asked him, how did you achieve this sustenance? He said, Imam is the partner of my business. There's a certain allocation to the Imam which reminds me all the time that he's with me, and reminds me in my business that haram money shouldn't just enter my life. How dare I give haram money to my partner, Imam Sahib al-Zaman? How many of us have written articles in honor of the 12th Imam, have told people about the 12th Imam? The beautiful aspect of the West at the moment is that you are seeing a resurgence of people who recognize their Imam is distressed. This Who is Hussein campaign, look at the hard work. those sisters and brothers who gave out roses with the Prophet Muhammad's quotes in the middle of London and around the world, look at their hard work. Those brothers and sisters in the middle of town in Denmark and Sweden who give out cups of coffee with quotes by Imam Hussein, look at their work. The brothers here in the community who inshallah this week will speak about Imam al-Hussein, that is their work. Never forget that all of this work is for an Imam who is distressed, who is wondering, where are my companions? Where are my followers? The Imam in his letter to Shaykh al-Mufid and other letters, doesn't he say, if my Shia truly wanted me to return, I would return for them. Have you ever asked yourself, do I recognize the distress this man faces? You know what one of the ulama says? One of the ulama says something beautiful. He says, I saw the 12th Imam in my dream. And as we know, Allah may communicate with people in their dreams. He says, when I saw him in my dream, he says, I saw blue patches near his eyes. I could see that he had cried and cried a lot. So I looked at him and I said, oh, distressed one of Al Muhammad, why is it that you cry so much? He goes, is that tragedy not enough? The tragedy of Karbala that makes me cry so much. On top of that, my Shia's behavior increases my tears. Honestly, that tragedy of Karbala is a tragedy which continues to cause tears for him when he remembers it. But on top of that, the behavior of some of his followers even causes more tears. Our backbiting of each other, our gossiping of each other's lives, our stabbing each other in the back, mosques disunited with one another, people making rumors about scholars of the religion of Islam, the envy which is being shown in our communities, is this what causes distress to the one who's already distressed? Does this not increase in his distress? Therefore, the ta'wil of this verse was what? And may yujib al-muftar. Al-muftar was the 12th imam, according to the 6th imam. He says he is the distressed one when he sees his followers behaving in this way. And that's why we have a responsibility with this 12th imam, that we dedicate our actions, our behavior, our life towards him in order that his victory is achieved. Don't you read that line in Dua Nudba, Azizun alayya an ara al-khalq fala tura. It hurts me that I see all of the creation, but I don't see you. That line in Dua Nudba. And you know those beautiful lines in Dua Nudba when we say, Ayn al-Hasan, Ayn al-Husayn. Wallah, those lines are unbelievable lines. Where is Hasan? Where is Husayn? You know you can repeat those lines over and over again in your life. Ayn al-Hasan, Ayn al-Husayn. أين أبناء الحسين؟ Where are the sons of Hussein? صالح بعد صالح صادق بعد صادق أين الشموس الطالعة؟ أين الأنجم الزاهرة؟ أين الأقمار المنيرة؟ Where are those pure moons, those beautiful suns which used to shine on this earth? أين السبب المتصل بين الأرض والسماء؟ Where is that man who's the connector between the heavens and the earth? أين الطالب بدم المقتول بكربلاء? Where is the man who'll avenge the one killed at Karbala? We say, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, we beg you to allow us to avenge Karbala with you. Ya Sahib al-Zaman, we know how much pain you're in. We read Ziyarat Nahiya, and in Ziyarat Nahiya he says, I cry tears that become blood for Aba Abdullah. Tears that become blood. Yaqub became blind crying for Yusuf. Imam Sahib al-Zaman hasn't become blind, but he says, my tears become blood when I remember Karbala. And that's why one of the ulama narrates in his dream, he says, when I saw the 12th imam, I asked him, what of Karbala hurts you the most? This is an important question. What of what happened hurts you the most? Was it when Abbas's hands were cut? He said, no, it wasn't that. Was it when Ali al-Akbar was trampled on? He said, no, not even that. He asked him, was it when Qasim, they ripped his chest into pieces? He said, no, not that. Was it when the six-month-old baby, the arrow pierced his neck? He said, no, it was not that. He asked him, then what? He said, Asham, Asham, Asham. He said, what happened to Zainab and the sisters of Zainab and Sham? Brothers and sisters, keep these tears, keep them. Do you know why? We used to take Sham for granted, isn't it? We used to go ziyara to Bibi's haram. Wallah, in my days when I used to study there, I took the place for granted. Allah, I took the place for granted. People used to say to you, go for ziyarah to Bibi, and we used to postpone. We used to make excuses for why we don't go and visit Sayyidah Zainab. Who's next to Sayyidah Zainab now? Those of you who visited Sayyidah Zainab, may Allah praise you and bless you. But those who missed your chance, what do you say to Zainab? You remember that grave? Wallah, you remember that dariyah, the dirt outside, the litter outside. This lady in her life, she was oppressed. After she died, they still oppressed her. All of you have been to Sham. Tonight is the night of Sham. Tonight is the night of Aoun and Muhammad. But you know Sayyidah Zainab, I tell you, she was in distress at Karbala. Did she once complain? When they asked her, what did you see at Karbala? She said, I saw nothing but beauty. I saw nothing but beauty. I gave my flowers away. Even in front of Yazid, she says, I thank Allah. Zainab, you thank Allah when Allah took Aoun and Muhammad. She says, I thank Allah who gave us happiness, gave us martyrdom and then blessings. All I ask is Allah to recompense those shuhada at Karbala. That's all I ask. I ask every mother listening to me today, I ask every mother, wouldn't you be in distress if your son fell? And every father here, if your son fell, wouldn't you be in distress? If your son was unwell, wouldn't you be in distress? What went through the heart of Zainab when she saw Aoun and Muhammad? Because you know, on the night of the 10th of Muharram, on the night of the 10th, she said to Aba Abdullah, she said to her son, she said, Layla Ali al-Akbar will make her proud. Qasim will make his mom proud. I want you two to make me proud tomorrow. And Aoun and Muhammad say, Mother, do not worry, we'll make you proud tomorrow. Mother, our grandfather from your side is Ali, and our grandfather from our father's side is Ja'far. Why wouldn't we make you proud? And then they said a beautiful line, Mother, 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 when an army has Abbas, why do you fear for us? When an army has Abbas, why do you fear? She said to them, I love you, my two sons. Make me proud tomorrow, like Qasim and Akbar will make their moms proud. When the 10th of Muharram came, both of them went to their uncle, Imam al-Husayn. They said to him, Aba Abdullah, please, I beg you, let us fight. He said, my dear sons, I want you to look after your mother, Zainab. She has no one to look after her. I do not want you to fight. Go and look after your mother. And you know, while he's talking to them, he sees Zainab at the tent looking at him. And he doesn't want Zainab to be hurt. You know why? When Rasulullah died, Zainab was with him. When their mother Fatima al-Zahra died, Zainab was with him. You know, Imam Ali, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, on the night Fatima al-Zahra died, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen on the night Fatima al-Zahra died, he was by her grave. He had cried so much, he fell asleep by the grave. In his dream, he saw Sayyidah Fatima saying to him, Ali, go back to the house. The orphans are alone. He went back towards the house. He entered. He saw Hassan and Hussein. He said, where's Zainab? They said to him, Zainab's on her mom's prayer mat. When Rasulullah died, Zainab was with him. When Fatima al-Zahra died, Zainab was with him. When Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib died, Zainab was with him. You know, the narration says when Imam Ali was hit by Ibn Muljam as he was leaving, he told Imam al-Hasan al-Husayn, let me stand straight. Let me stand straight. Imam al-Hasan al-Husayn said to him, why? He said, I see Zainab at the door. I don't want Zainab to know I've been struck. When Imam al-Hasan died, Zainab was with him. When he's sitting next to Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Hasan vomited out, you know, he vomited out blood because of the poison. Aba Abdullah saw the blood in the bowl. He covered the bowl because Zainab was about to enter. Imam al-Hasan looked at him. He said, Aba Abdullah, you covered this bowl. There'll be a bowl she'll see in Sham. She'll see the head of Aba Abdullah. May Allah bless your tears which soften the heart. That's why for Aba Abdullah it was difficult. He said to them, I want you to look after your mother. They walked back towards their mother. When they walked back, their mother looked at them. She said to them, my sons, why have you not gone out to fight? Why haven't you gone out? They replied to her mother, our uncle doesn't allow us. She began to walk towards Aba Abdullah. She began to walk towards Aba Abdullah. When she approached Imam al-Hussein, she said to him, Aba Abdullah, why don't you allow my two boys to go out and fight? He looked at her and he said, Zainab, Zainab, I want them to look after you and to protect you. This conversation, it breaks the heart, every brother and sister. At this moment, she looked at him and she said to him, Aba Abdullah, let me remind you of two occasions and two moments which may change your mind. He said to her, oh Zainab, go ahead, tell me what are they? She said to him, Aba Abdullah, do you remember the day of the Battle of Safin when Abu Fadl al-Abbas walked out? Do you remember the smile on the face of my father Ali ibn Abi Talib when he saw Abbas walking out? Imam al-Hussein, he remembered that smile, he remembered. She said, I want to also allow my sons to walk out like Abbas walked out on that day. Have you seen a sister like this? But then the second line, that is the line that hurt Aba Abdullah. The second line is the one that hurt. She knew this line would affect him. She looked at him and she said to him, Aba Abdullah, I want to be proud when I meet my mother Fatima al-Zahra. Layla is going to give her son and Qasim's mother will give her son. I want to give my sons towards your cause. You know, they embraced each other. He cared for her so much. I say to him, Aba Abdullah, I wish you saw in the bazaar of Sham what they did to Zainab. MashaAllah. They poked your sister with their spears and they whipped her on her back. Aun and Muhammad came forward, my dear brothers and sisters. Aun and Muhammad came forward. They fought valiantly in the middle of the battlefield. Every time Aun would strike anyone, he turned back towards his uncle Abu Fadl al-Abbas. He'd call out, oh my uncle Abu Fadl, are you proud of the way I'm defending you? If anyone came to strike Muhammad, Aun would protect him. If someone came to strike Aun, Muhammad would protect him. Umar ibn Sa'ad then said, don't fight these two one-on-one. Surround them. Cover them from every angle. They began to attack both of the boys, one after the other. At this moment, one of them fell on the ground. Aun ran towards his brother's body to protect him. They came and they struck Aun when he was on the ground. Abu Abdullah ran out of the tent. He came towards Aoun's body, said, "By Aoun's body." Aoun, before he died, one narration says Muhammad, before he died, he looked towards Abu Abdullah. He said to him, "Oh my uncle, are you proud of me today?" He said to him, "My son, of course I'm proud of you." He said to him, "Oh my uncle, would you send back a message to my mother?" He said to him, "Of course I will. What's your message?" He said to him, "Tell her I never drank any water when I died." How can I drink water when my mother sits thirsty in her tent without any water to quench her thirst? He took both of them back towards the tent. Both of them had died. Zainab never cried for them at Karbala. She went to Kufa, she never cried for them. She went to Sham, she never cried for them. Until she returned back to Medina. When she entered her house, she saw two empty mattresses in front of her. She called out, "Oh my flowers, I would have cried for you at Karbala, but Hussein didn't have anyone to cry for him." Raise your hands, brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your deeds. May Allah accept your tears. May Allah allow us to visit Sayyida Zainab in Sham. Ya Allah, please let our cheeks rub across the grave of Zainab. Ya Allah, allow our cheeks to rub on the grave of Zainab's brother, Imam al-Husayn. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to honor the message of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli.